Blog Talk Radio.
This is Talk 29, the best in talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Marcus Cain's special report. I want to thank Talk 29 for having me on for this special report. It's a very, very critical report because, folks, it's become increasingly clear, even to the people who have denied it for so long, that Joe Biden, while he is technically the president of the United States, is certainly not running this country. Now, if you had any doubts at all when you saw the index cards that literally had answers to questions that were pre-approved questions, if you had any doubt when you saw instruction cards telling him, you walk into the building, you turn left, you sit next to so-and-so, you greet each person at the table as if he was a child, if you've had any doubts about the times that he's finally made a statement that appears to have come from him, only to have the White House walk it back and say, that's not what he meant. He misspoke. He didn't mean this. Remember when he said, we will defend Taiwan because that's the deal we made with them? And the White House went nuts and said, oh, wait a minute now. Not what he meant. Remember when he said, well, I mean, if Putin only slightly invades the Ukraine, if it's just a minor invasion, we might not. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's not what he meant. Anything that is out of lockstep with who's really running this country, they just walk it back. And they want you to blame it on poor old Joe, who's cognitively declining, when in fact that is part of the reason. But folks, we have to take a deep dive into this and say, what exactly happened? You know, Joe Biden came out of the primaries, and CNN announced after like the third state, Joe Biden's campaign is effectively done. Effectively over. What changed? He went from a man whose campaign was effectively over after the third or fourth state's primary to a man we are told by the media got more votes than any president in the history of the United States of America. In history, folks. So what happened? What turned a not extraordinarily popular primary candidate into the most popular presidential candidate of all time? And who was behind it? Well, that answer is more complicated than you may think. And I've heard a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, the Obama administration is still ruling this. You have Susan Rice. You have Obama himself. You have a bunch of his political advisors. They're the ones really running it. Well, to a degree, that's correct. To a degree, that's correct. But that's not it. To really deep dive into this, you first have to understand that Joe Biden was selected. Now, you can say he won the primaries all you want, but who selected him to strap a rocket to his back? There was a group of people in the Democratic Party who made a decision that Joe Biden would be the easiest candidate to control once he was in office, the easiest person to put in the suit, push out in front of a microphone to spit out their talking points while behind the scenes. An actual cabal would be running the country. He would be the figurehead for the cabal, which is exactly what he ended up being, by the way. But who were these people? Well, yes, part of them were the former Obama administration. If you remember, Barack Obama had once said, in a, I'm sort of joking, ha, 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 don't take me seriously, I could probably devise a situation where I sort of was the de facto president and just sort of ran it from my basement secretly. Remember when he said that? Yeah. Doesn't sound so funny now, right? It's not ha, 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 laugh it up. See, the problem is this, folks. While we're sitting here saying, we are the leader of the democratic free world. We stand for democracy. This is part of the reason, supposedly, that we're supporting the Ukraine. Well, democracy has to win, right? That's what Nancy Pelosi said. Democracy always has to win. We have to be on the forefront. A win for the Ukraine is a win for us because we are supporting democracy. The Ukraine's not a democracy. Zelensky has basically said there's not going to be any voting. He's jailed political opponents. He's shut down various religious organizations. Not a democracy. It's an autocracy. But that's what the United States is clearly thriving to be. But how do they get there? Well, here's where it gets interesting, because we can talk about Susan Rice all day. We can talk about Barack Obama all day. But one of the chief people we have to talk about is a man named Larry Fink. And Larry Fink is the founder of an organization called BlackRock. He founded it in 1988. Now, this is Larry Fink, who I think now sits on the board of the WEF, the World Economic Forum, run by Klaus Schwab of the Great Reset fame. Okay, so we know where we're going with this, correct? And this is an institution that they really don't have. There's a banking institution, but they don't do loans. They don't accept deposits. They basically just buy and sell securities. And for that reason, they have no regulation. The Federal Reserve does not regulate BlackRock. So what ends up happening? Well, according to many sources, when Joe Biden was handpicked to be the candidate, Larry Fink called him up, said, "I'm here to help. How do I help?" Well, the money sure rolled in quickly after that, and Joe Biden was able to run a campaign from his basement. But worse than that, let's talk about the people that once Joe Biden got into office, he put in the position of power that came from BlackRock. They're either still there or they were there at some point. Senior economic advisor to Kamala Harris is a man named Michael Pyle. He was the former global chief strategist for BlackRock. Also was an Obama administration advisor and advisor to Hillary Clinton. So he was in the Obama administration. He was an advisor to Hillary Clinton during her campaign. And he was selected by the Biden administration to be the senior economic advisor to Kamala Harris. BlackRock. Then we have a guy by the name of Wally Ananimu, I guess his name is, Ayanimu. He's a deputy treasury secretary under Janet Yellen. He was a former senior advisor and chief of staff to Fink himself from BlackRock. By the way, he was also the first president of the Obama Foundation under Barack Obama. So there we have yet another connection to BlackRock. All this, by the way, after Larry Fink calls up Joe Biden and says, "I'm here to help." We then have Brian Deese, Director of National Economic Council, and the president's main economic advisor. He was the former global head of sustainable investments for BlackRock. Prior to that, he also replaced John Podesta as Obama's senior advisor. And by the way, he helped negotiate this Paris Accord climate deal. There's three people. There's three major people from BlackRock. An organization that's literally buying up properties like they were pieces on a monopoly board. And probably the most powerful financial institution in the United States of America, if not globally. So when you're talking about who's running the country, well, listen, there are people who are running it from a political standpoint. There are people who are running it from a financial standpoint. There are people who are running it with an agenda. Now, BlackRock, for the people who really don't know all that much about them, has been literally purchasing land all over the United States of America in droves. By the way, They're the New York Times' biggest shareholder since 2017. So don't expect the New York Times to tell you anything about them. Don't expect the New York Times to tell you anything unpleasant about them. But at the end of the day, folks, these are people who have major power in this country, and they were not elected by anyone. So if you want me to believe that Joe Biden got more votes than any president in the history of the United States of America, those people are owed the answer to the question, is the person that we're voting for the person making the decisions? Because that's who we supposedly voted for to make these decisions. And the answer is unequivocally no. Joe Biden's not making any of these decisions. So, you know, we're hard on Lindsey Graham and a few other Republicans who say Joe Biden's a really nice guy. I know Joe Biden and Joe Biden's this and that. And I'm still hard on them. But I give them a slight pass because of this reason. The Joe Biden that they knew, who was a somewhat of a moderate Democrat, is now just a puppet. I don't even believe that when he goes out there to make a speech, he understands what his words actually mean. I think he's just being told, this is what's happening, this is what you're saying, this is what was going on. I don't think he's the mastermind behind a cabal to bring about a new world order, because he doesn't have the mentality to do that. Joe Biden's a guy who wanted to be the president desperately. He was handpicked to become the president. He was assured the presidency and basically handed it, as far as I'm concerned. And now in retaliation for that, they're telling him what to do, what to say, how to think, the words to use. You're going to tell me that this man's attitude changed this much? Go look at early Joe Biden. No, he was never the brightest guy in the room. But go look at some early Joe Biden things. He was very, very tough on drug crimes. He was against a lot of things that he's for now. And now he's supposedly, I've seen the light. This is baloney. Joe Biden doesn't even know what the word Latinx means. He probably thinks it's some kind of a window cleaner. Yet he's told to use it. This is the word you use. This is the phrase you use. Our media is also complicit. Our media understands this very clearly. Our media understands that people like BlackRock and George Soros have a financial grasp on this country, as does China. As evidenced by Hunter Biden says, no one carries out the chairman's wishes better than the Bidens. The chairman of what? So we have a cabal currently running this country. You can't point to Susan Rice and say she's the one. You can't point to Barack Obama and say he's the one. You can't point to any one person. This was an organized effort, financially and politically, to bring about a new world order. If you remember, Barack Obama did not want Joe Biden to run. Joe Biden was the last person he wanted. They wanted Hillary. He told Joe not to even run when Hillary was running, right? They didn't get Hillary across the finish line because she was one of the worst candidates in the history of modern politics. They couldn't take that chance again, folks. They understood Joe Biden wasn't a good candidate either. They learned from the Hillary Clinton mistake and said, we can't put him in front of a microphone too much. We will hide him in a basement. We will use COVID as a shield to say this is what we must do. You all must follow these orders. And Joe is being a good little soldier, and he's sitting in his basement, and he's not come out and try to cause a super spreader, because you know he'll draw hundreds of thousands of people, right? Did you ever see that one time? No, you did not. The problem here, folks, is very simple. This cabal now understands very clearly Joe Biden can't win. Joe Biden cannot win. Oh, they're going to put you up polls that says Joe Biden, according to this poll, is ahead of Trump by 72 points. You could just forget it. This is the same thing they said about Hillary Clinton, if you remember. They rigged the polls and said Hillary Clinton's going to win by a landslide. It's not even going to be close. We should be able to call the race by an hour after the polls open because it's going to be such a landslide. Is that what happened? They lied. They rigged the polls. They're doing it again. They know deep down in their hearts Joe Biden cannot win. It doesn't matter whether Ron DeSantis is running. It does not matter whether it's Donald Trump who's running. It doesn't really even matter who is. Joe Biden is not winning this. And the reason he's not winning it now is because now it's too obvious. The people who said, well, maybe he did get more votes than any other candidate in the history of the United States of America. After all, Trump was very unpopular. Yeah, he was so unpopular that Donald Trump also got more votes than any incumbent in the history of the United States of America. That's how unpopular Donald Trump was. But even given that, these same people take a look at Joe Biden now and say, wait a minute. He's going to be almost 90 by the time his second term would be over. This Bidenomics that he's touting as being a savior and how wonderful the economy is has literally bankrupted some people, crushed us financially. They see what's going on in their schools. They see what's going on with their paychecks. They see what's going on in the world as far as the turmoil that's going on internationally. And they all say, well, we're not voting for him. Oh, of course, there's going to be your hardcore Democrats who would vote for Jack the Ripper. But the majority of people who voted for Joe Biden last time, they're not in. They're not in. The Democratic Party understands that. So now what do you do? Well, you have two options. You tell Joe you can't run. But Joe has went out on his own now. Joe went rogue and said, I'm running. Remember, they were all kind of like shocked when Joe made that announcement. And you heard people like AOC and other people say, well, I mean, I guess if he's running, I suppose that the Democratic Party will support him, I guess. Yeah, that's a ringing endorsement. That's called, we never thought he was running because he wasn't supposed to. You also handpicked Kamala, by the way. Kamala Harris was polling at less than 1%. Why in the world would you take someone who couldn't win her home state and is polling at less than 1% and make her the vice president of the United States of America? Why would you do that? Because you also thought she would be easy to control. You thought she was a power-hungry person who eyed the presidency of the United States like a starving person eyes a porterhouse steak and said, I'll do anything you want as long as I'm the next president. Then they saw how woefully unpopular and uncooperative she is. And they said, we can't do this either. We can't do this. No one will believe she won. No one will believe that she outdid in the polls any of the Republican candidates. So she's no longer worth anything to us. So now the Democrats have a big problem because the cabal that's actually running the country clearly sees that the Wizard of Oz that they currently have, the man behind the curtain, Joe Biden, he can't win. They see that the vice president, who should be the next in line, she can't win. And now they're saying to themselves, where do we go and where do we turn? Do not be fooled by the Democrats' motives. They will throw Joe Biden under the bus in a heartbeat if they think it will cause them to stay in power. And I'm already seeing signs that Joe Biden and the cabal that actually runs the country are starting to part ways. They're starting to see he's no longer the useful idiot he was. As a matter of fact, he's a detriment. He's saying things we don't want him to say. He's forgetting to say the things we do want him to say. He's making very bad public appearances and making us look ridiculous. Voters are losing confidence in him in a huge, huge number. And we have to do something, and we have to do something fast. So they look in their pool and they say, who do we have? Well, half of the far, far left liberals, they will not vote for Hillary Clinton. They do not like Hillary Clinton. She's not far left enough for them even. So it can't be Hillary. They don't want Hillary. The reason they don't want Hillary also is because Hillary Clinton, despite being one of the worst candidates in history and a very horribly unpleasant person, isn't a person that you can control. Hillary Clinton would be one of those people that if you said, you're going to do this and you're going to do that, would say, well, I'm the president. I'll do what I want. you work for me. I am a Clinton. That would be her philosophy. So they need another hand puppet. They need another hand puppet so that this World Economic Forum can start their dream and begin to reform this country by any means necessary. This new world order, this reset, this great reset, they need that. So they look to their pool and they say, well, Gavin Newsom, but he was so unpopular, he faced a recall in his own state. So that's going to be very difficult for people to swallow that he's going to come in here and win. So they're going to need a secret weapon. I think their secret weapon is going to be Michelle Obama. I don't know if she's going to run for president, but I would not be surprised if they do throw Joe under the bus and go with Gavin Newsom if they announce Newsom Obama as the ticket. They can control Gavin Newsom. And Michelle Obama's right with him anyway and always has been. Her husband has more to do right now with the policies of the United States of America than Joe Biden does. I promise you. So does Susan Rice. So does BlackRock. So does a lot of other people. Joe Biden makes the announcements. They set the rules. Now, BlackRock was investigated by a private corporation, and it was found that they were using lobbying. They were using major amounts of campaign donations in order to squash regulations so that they could become this the biggest financial corporation on the globe. Totally free from any Federal Reserve scrutiny. They did it with their money. They did it with their campaign donations. They did it by getting their people into key positions in the Obama administration as well as the Biden administration. Some of these people I named you were some of the very first people Joe Biden appointed. Why would that be? Why would executives from BlackRock all be the people they picked right after the founder of BlackRock says, I'm here to help? And Joe Biden suddenly goes from a guy who CNN declared dead as far as his primary chances to the actual nominee and eventually a president who gets more votes than anybody in history. How did that happen that quickly? That's what you have to ask yourself, folks. How did it happen that quickly? It happened because they all got together and they formulated a plan. And Joe Biden was a very small part of that plan. Just the easiest man to control, the easiest person to put in there. He's older. He looks kindly. He looks like somebody's grandfather. He's soft-spoken for the most part. And he's cognitively declined to the point where he'll just listen to whatever you say. You just give him an index card and tell him. If they wrote on an index card, you go in and say, hey, everybody, you can all go to hell. That's exactly what Joe Biden would say. And he wouldn't even think about it. He said, did I just tell people to go to hell? This is a man who didn't even know what country he just came from. He had to be reminded by a four-year-old girl. When asked a question, what country did you just come from? He said, I've been to so many of them. And a four-year-old girl says it was Ireland. Oh, yeah, it was Ireland. You think this is a man who's making critical decisions every single day? That's a joke. See, the problem that they hated with Donald Trump was he may have had advisors. He may have had people who said, this is what we think you should do. But at the end of the day, Donald Trump was the president. And Donald Trump did what Donald Trump wanted to do. Joe Biden doesn't do any of that. They tell him, Joe, here's what you're saying. Joe, here's what you're doing. Joe, sign this paper. And Joe Biden does it. How many times have you heard Joe Biden say, I shouldn't answer another question. I'll get in trouble. Did you ever hear a reporter ask a follow-up question, excuse me, Mr. President, who would you get in trouble from? You're the President of the United States of America. If you want to answer questions here for another hour, please explain to the American people who voted for you who you're going to get in trouble from. From who? But they never do. The reason they never do is they already know. The media already knows this. We can throw rocks at the media all day long, but the media is not stupid. And these reporters and these mega corporations, news corporations, I've just told you the New York Times literally is owned by BlackRock. They all know it. So they don't ask the question. They know who's going to get in trouble from. Did you ever hear Donald Trump one time, did you ever hear any other president, any president in your lifetime, say, I'd like to answer more questions, but I'll get in trouble. Oh, I'd like to be able to do this or that, but I'll get in trouble. From who? From who? I want you all to understand that we are in the verge of not being a democracy anymore. An autocracy is what we're going to be. And a lot of these people who are autocracies, they disguise themselves as democracies. Ukraine's one. They're not democratic. Oh, they may hold a mock vote if they want to, but they're not. Barack Obama himself once said it would be much easier if you were just the president of China. You know why he said that? Because you're there for as long as you're going to be there, and you'll do whatever you want to do. There's no Congress to go through. There's no Senate to go through. There's no people to answer to. You just do what you want to do. That's what they want. That's what they're shooting for. And the people who are really running this country, they're not out for your best interests. Why would they be? Why would BlackRock be out for your best interests? What financially do you have to offer BlackRock? Nothing. They can own the world if they want to, and probably will soon if something's not done. So what good are you? Who goes to work every day 9 to 5 and digs a ditch or rings people up in a supermarket or works hard as a mechanic or a plumber or an electrician or whatever? What good are you to them? You're nothing to them. You're cannon fodder. They don't care about you. It's how do we advance ourselves as a world power? How do we get in a position where we run things? How do we get into position from our democracy becoming an autocracy disguised as a democracy? That's what the goal is. Joe Biden's the figurehead of that goal. And always has been. Joe Biden did not walk out of a primary in New Hampshire basically being declared dead by the media, only to be touted by the media as the most popular president in the history of the United States of America by virtue of how many votes he got. That is an impossibility, my friend. People forget that, and they don't talk about that. Go back in your history and watch the news reports that declared Joe Biden's candidacy dead in the water. Dead in the water. This is the last stop for Joe. Not even a year later, the most votes of any president in history. We know it's not true. And they know you know it's not true. They're going to try to do it again. Watch very carefully, folks, because the people who are running this country as we listen to this show, it's not the man you voted for, if you did vote for him. It's a cabal who decided this is the man that we will get you to vote for so that we can dictate policy. We can implement the Great Reset. We can do what we need to do to change the democracy of the United States of America into an autocracy disguised as a democracy. And that is exactly their goal. And if they win this time around, and they're going to pull out every stop you can think of to win, they will probably achieve that. That's the scary part.
This is Talk 29, the best in talk.